Leviticus chapter 14. Tonight we're going to look at the laws of purity, and this is part two. We did chapters 12 and 13 last week. This is part two. But in chapter 13, we looked at the laws concerning the condition of leprosy. And I'll tell you what, you're going to be amazed at the things in something like this, in a discussion about leprosy, that point to our Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to talk tonight about the healing of that. But last week we talked about the diagnosis of a new case of leprosy. Leprosy means scaly. We talked about the diagnosis of an old case of leprosy and a number of other things concerning leprosy, and then the disposal of the garments that have been infected by that. But from chapters 12 and 13, we learned that leprosy is a type of sin. It makes a person insensitive to pain, just like sin makes us insensitive. It hardens our hearts. It makes us insensitive towards God. Leprosy erupts from below the surface of the skin, and sin in us, it erupts from our sinful natures from within, and it comes to the surface of our lives, and by the time it does, it's not really pretty. Leprosy starts out as a small thing, then it spreads all over, so does sin. The leper had to be isolated from everyone else, and so sin contaminates those around us and isolates us from God. Leprosy had to be diagnosed by the priest and by the priest alone. And sin is diagnosed in our lives by none other than our great high priest, Jesus Christ. The leper had to tear his clothes and cry, "Unclean, unclean." Tearing of the clothes was a sign of repentance. You and I need to repent of our sins and confess that we're unclean. Confess our sins to our great high priest. Leprosy is a vivid illustration and a symbol of sin. And the picture is that we have a sin problem and that we need to go to Jesus Christ. We need to repent and be healed and cleansed and then restored, and then allow Jesus Christ to continually examine our lives as the sin keeps pouring out of them. We're all plagued with this disease of sin. Leprosy is one of the most awful sins that a person can have. There's total isolation, there's quarantine, and a true leprosy today is called Hansen's disease. It affects the skin and the nerve endings, and it spreads and produces nodules and ulcers, and the tissues then contract, and the limbs become deformed and usually drop off. And eventually the leper dies. And what begins as a small sore gradually spreads and turns the entire body into a mass of corruption and ugliness. What a fitting illustration of sin and the destructiveness of it and the eventual death as a result of it. James put it this way in James chapter 1. He said, "But each one of us is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." The book of Hebrews warns us about the effects of sin, that it hardens our hearts. One of the first things that happens when we sin is there's a hardness, this layer that covers our hearts, and we're distant from God. And it just continues to grow. There's a fascinating story in the Old Testament about a leper who came to Elisha, the prophet, a man named Naaman of Syria. He was a Syrian. And he was told by Elisha to dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman looked at the Jordan River, and if you've ever been there, it's not real clean. It's kind of muddy, in fact. And he said, "You know, there's a lot cleaner rivers in Syria. I think I'll just go home and do this." And turned around to leave. But his servant talked him into staying, and he said, "What's it going to hurt to try it?" So he dipped himself six times in the Jordan River, nothing happened. And then the seventh time, he came up out of the water and was completely healed. His flesh returned to that like a baby skin. You see, Naaman had to trust someone other than himself. And so do you and I if we want to be healed of our sins. Paul talked about we have no confidence in the flesh. That's our problem. But Leviticus 13 dealt with the laws concerning the condition of leprosy, its diagnosis, but thank God that it doesn't just leave us there. There's a chapter 14 in which we're told how that leprosy can be cleansed. In chapter 13, the issue is that of sin. In chapter 14, the issue is that of salvation. How can you and I be cleansed from the rottenness of sin and restored to a holy God? We're going to see in the first 32 verses the healing of the leper. And then in verses 33 through 57, the last part of this chapter, the cleansing of the leper's house because that was infected, obviously. But let's look at the first 32 verses. We'll read through those verses and then we'll take a step back and make comment. But the healing of the leper says in verse 1 of Leviticus 14, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'This shall be the law of the leper on the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and dip them in the living bird and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and he shall sprinkle it seven times on him as to be cleansed from leprosy. He shall pronounce him clean, and he shall let the living bird loose in the open field.'" Wait till you hear what this points to. "He who is cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all of his hair, wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the seventh day he shall shave the hair off of his head and his beard, his eyebrows. He shall shave all his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take two male lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and one log of oil. Then the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and the priest shall take one male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord." We've talked in previous weeks about these different kinds of offerings. "Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering, in a holy place, for as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering, it is most holy. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of his right ear, the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on his big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own hand. And then the priest shall dip his right finger in that oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle some of it with his finger 7 times before the Lord, the rest of oil in his hand. The priest shall put some on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, and on the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed, and so the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. Then the priest shall offer the sin offering and make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness after he shall kill the burnt offering, and the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. But he is poor, if he's poor and cannot afford it, then he shall take one male lamb as a trespass offering to be waved, to make atonement for him, 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to afford. One shall be as a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering. He shall bring them to the priest on the eighth day for his cleansing, to the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. And then he shall kill, and the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. And then he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, and the priest shall pour some of the oil into the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is left in his left hand seven times before the Lord, and the priest shall put some of the oil that is in his hand on the tip of the right ear of him that's cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, on the big toe of his right foot, on the place of the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed, to make atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer one of the turtle doves or young pigeons, such as he can afford, such as he's able to afford. The one is a sin offering and the other is a burnt offering with the grain offering. And so the priest shall make atonement for him who is to be cleansed before the Lord. And notice verse 32, this is a law for one who has a leprous sore, who cannot afford the usual cleansing. Pictured here in chapter 14 are all the essential ingredients in and for our coming to the Lord for salvation. But notice the point at where it all begins. Look at verse 2. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Notice, he shall be brought to the priest. So he's got to be brought to the priest. And so where it all starts for you and I is that we need to come to the Lord. You know, and most of us, before we come to that place where we give up and finally come to the Lord himself, we've tried all kinds of things in order to solve the sin issue. We've tried our own performance. We've tried keeping the law. We tried religion and all that it has to offer, which is trying to build a road to God, when in fact God came to us in the person of Christ. We tried all of that to no avail. And in Hebrews chapter 7, we read, therefore, he's also able to save to the uttermost those that come to God through him. We've got to come to him. Just like in the Old Testament, you had to come to the priest in order to have sin dealt with, so you and I must come to our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 8, there was a situation in which a leper came to Jesus in order to be healed. And we're told, behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus put out his hand and he touched him. And that was a no-no. You don't touch anybody who's a leper. And he said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. The same things we're discussing here in chapter 14 of Leviticus. You see, a person can only be cleansed from the disease of sin by their coming to the great high priest, Jesus Christ, who is the great physician. Secondly, look at the place where the priest meets the leper in verse 3. And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper. And so the priest, of course, who represents our Lord Jesus Christ, must go outside of the camp. Remember where Jesus was crucified? Outside the city walls of the city of Jerusalem. And the priest here needs to go outside of the camp. Why? Because a leper cannot come inside the camp. He's unclean. And so the priest goes out of the camp to look at the leper. Hebrews 13 says, therefore, Jesus also, in order to sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth unto him outside the camp. Any leper who read that would be astonished that Jesus would actually come outside the camp. Don't you know that he's a friend of sinners? Luke 19:10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And so the high priest, after hearing that a leper wanted to be cleansed, he goes out to where he is. I can't help but think about the prodigal son who left, took all that he had, spent it, and just destroyed his life out in the world. And finally one day came to his senses and realized that even my father's servants have it better off than I do, and decided to come back. I have a feeling that every day the father went out and was waiting for that son to come back. And when he saw his son coming down the road, coming home, he ran, which is the most undignified thing you could do in that culture. But the father ran and kissed him. He didn't wait for him to come all the way back. He ran after him. Boy, if you're there and you're far from God tonight, all you have to do is turn around. There's not any great thing you have to do. One move on our part towards the Savior, Jesus Christ, and he comes running to us. In Isaiah, the prophet said, "Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now that's the truth, my friends. And the moment we decide to come back to God, turn back to him, the Lord's ready to forgive, ready to embrace us. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. He came from heaven to earth, took on the form of a servant. Jesus was a friend of sinners. We might be involved in some kind of a terrible thing, but one move towards the Lord Jesus Christ, and there he is, seeking us. And he'll come to where we are if we'll just turn to him. He'll go outside the camp. He'll leave the 99 to go after the one, believe me. Most of us have been there. Now in verses 4 through 7, notice the picture of the two birds. "Then the priest shall command to take for him that's to be cleansed." This is a leper in the day of his cleansing. "Two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy and shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird loose in the open field." You say, what in the world? Of these birds, who's innocent, by the way, what did they do wrong? Was killed. The other ones practically drown in blood and then let go. What is the picture here? Of course, birds belong to the heavens, don't they? Not in earthen vessels, not in a clay basin. The first bird, living and clean, by the way, innocent is the picture, without sin, represents our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready for this? Who was killed in an earthen vessel. He took on humanity. Jesus Christ took on humanity and was killed in our place for us, for our sins. He didn't do anything wrong. Our Lord Jesus Christ, like that bird, belongs in the heavens, but he came from heaven to earth. He came to where we are. He came outside the camp, and he was killed in an earthen vessel full of water. John said in John chapter 3, "No one has ascended to heaven, but he that's come down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. He that comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks from the earth, but he that comes from heaven is above all." And then Jesus himself said, "For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me." Jesus put himself in an earthen vessel and he died for us. We're told in the book of Philippians, who being in the form of God, he was God. Didn't consider it something to be held on to be equal with God. but made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Most of us know a little bit about doves. They're gentle, aren't they? They don't do anything wrong. What was in the earthen vessel full of water after the first bird was killed in that earthen vessel? Now you've got blood and water. John 19:34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. One of the birds was killed, picturing our Lord Jesus Christ, his death. What happened to the other bird? The other bird was taken and dipped, this is a live bird, taken and dipped in that earthen vessel with blood and water in her now. He tasted of death. Jesus tasted death for all of us. He was dipped, that bird was dipped in the blood and water and was released. It's a picture of the resurrection. Our Lord Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. He suffered once, Peter said, for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. It's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that's being pictured here by these two birds. Oh, by the way, the running water also pictures the Holy Spirit. In the mind of the Jew, at reading this, his mind would go right there. The water speaks of the Holy Spirit, not of works of righteousness, Paul said, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Water is the actual cleansing agent. The water pictures the Holy Spirit's work in the life of salvation. What happens to the leper in all of this? The living bird is dipped in the blood that was killed, symbolizing the cleansing of the leper by the blood. The leper is also symbolized by the living bird, and the death of the other bird is a substitution. It was life for life. It was innocent for the guilty. And what's being pictured here is the substitutionary atonement of Christ for the one who's now still alive and gets to fly away. It mentions six times in our text that the priest made atonement for him. It's pointing to Jesus. And that bird that was drenched in the blood and in the water reminds us that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And then the hyssop was dipped in the blood and sprinkled upon him that's to be cleansed, picturing sin, of course. David in Psalm 51 said, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow." There's probably no better illustration, no better picture in the Bible of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us than in these two birds involved in the cleansing of the leper. Notice the procedure now in verses 8 and 9 for the cleansing in water. "He who was cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all of his hair, wash himself in water, that he may be clean. After that, he shall come into the camp and stay outside his tent 7 days. And so the leper must now personally apply to his own life what was represented by these birds. Boy, is that a lesson. The leper was cleansed and then needed to cleanse himself. The prophet Isaiah said, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes." Paul put it this way, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." We need to apply to our own lives personally what Jesus Christ has done for us. The death of Jesus Christ, his shed blood, is sufficient for the sins of the entire world, but only efficient for those that apply it. If that leper had said, "You got to be kidding me. I'm out of here. You think I'm going to let you take that hyssop and dip it in that blood and sprinkle it all over me? I'm out of here. Naaman came that close to walking away from God's healing in his life. How many people come, they hear the whole message, and they're going, I just don't buy it. There's got to be more to it than this. This thing can't be free. We have to apply the blood. You know, the picture goes all the way back to the Passover. When the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, God said, I want you to take that lamb on the 10th day. It lived with the little kids in the household for 4 days. On the 14th day, slaughter that lamb, put the blood in a basin, and then before the evening, I want you to take and put the blood on the lintel of the doorpost, and it was in the shape of a cross. The threshold and the lintel of the doorpost was a... And when the death angel comes through the camp, he will pass over the house that's applied the blood. You could have killed that lamb and left the blood on the basin and thought, again, that's crazy, I'm not doing it. And everyone whose blood, the blood, every household, the firstborn was killed. That's the picture here. It always has been. That's why in 1 Timothy it says that he's the Savior of the world, especially of those that believe. Why? Because they've applied the blood. Jesus died for all sin, but only those who believe and apply it to their lives are redeemed. You have to personally apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your life. And it's there. It's done. It's settled. Just you got to open the gift, though. But on the seventh day, look at verse 9. He shall shave off all of his hair, the hair of his head, his beard, his eyebrows. All his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. And so shaving all that out, the skin would be exposed, and it's so clean. How often in the New Testament are we told to take off the old way of life and put on the new way of life? And then verses 10 through 32, we have the presentation of the offerings now that the leper's been cleansed. You see, and it's repeated over. You notice that some things were repeated. In verses 10 through 20, it's repeated in verses 21 through 32 for those that were poor and couldn't afford it. The picture, of course, is that no one's exempt. The possibility is there for everybody to come to Christ, no matter how poor you are. He's equally accessible to all. Isn't that wonderful? It's a beautiful picture. But what happens in verses 10 through 32 is that the leper can now go back into the camp. He's fully restored to worship God. But notice it was done on the eighth day. According to Jewish teaching, the eighth day is a day of new beginnings. It's Sunday in our calendar. It's the day Sunday, first day of the week. What day did Jesus rise from the dead? First day of the week. What day was the church born? First day of the week on the day of Pentecost. Can you imagine what it meant to the leper who had been isolated and couldn't even fellowship, couldn't come to the temple, couldn't worship God? He was just totally outcast. That all of a sudden now he can enjoy a new beginning. And that's what the picture is. When we come to Christ, all our old sins are washed away. It's a brand new beginning with the Lord. And we're clean before the Lord. And then in verses 12 through 32, what's being said in a nutshell is that the cleansed leper is now publicly acknowledged as being clean. He's consecrated to the Lord. He can come into the temple. He can make his offerings. The sin and the trespass offerings were offered first, recognizing that he's a sinner saved by the grace of God. But what's the whole deal here with the blood on the tip of the right ear and on the right thumb and on the big toe of his right foot? It all symbolized that the whole life had been cleansed by the Lord. What you hear, what you do, and where you go. We're told in the New Testament, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, we've got to turn our entire lives over to the Lord. Well, what about the oil then? The priest sprinkled the oil seven times before the Lord, representing the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. And then the oil was applied to the ear and the thumb and the big toe. You know, if we want to walk with the Lord and do the things of the Lord, I need the Holy Spirit upon me. And then what's with the rest of the oil? Let's just pour it on the guy's head. You know, we need the Holy Spirit upon our lives, don't we? And he doesn't want to just give us enough of the Holy Spirit so we can walk with him. He wants us to run with the Lord. Jesus said, out of your innermost being of those who believe will flow rivers of living water. His love just gushing out all over the place. And now we have a guy that was a reject, an unclean leper, whose life is now restored back, clean, usable by the Lord. The Bible teaches really that we were all once lepers. But we've been cleansed. Look at verse 19. Then the priest shall offer the sin offering and make atonement for him who is cleansed from his uncleanness. Afterwards he shall kill the burnt offering. Remember, the burnt offering always pictured the complete dedication of a person's life. Paul said, you know, in Romans chapter 12, you know, that we offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. The picture is laying our lives before the Lord, and he has it all. Nothing's left. He burns up the whole thing. So have you done that? You know, you may be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You may have come to him. You may have his Holy Spirit dwelling in you. But have you laid your life down on the altar and said, Lord, that my life doesn't even belong to me. It's been bought with a price. There's not a cleansed sinner anywhere that God doesn't want to use. What a beautiful picture. You know, we're just out of our minds if we think we got to clean up our act to come to God. You can't get it cleaned up until you come to God, you know. Now in verses 33 through 57, you can't just go back to the house where the plague was. The house has to be cleansed. You can't go back to the old life once you've been cleansed. Check this out. And the Lord, verse 33, spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when you've come into the land of Canaan, they're still at Mount Sinai. They haven't gone into the land yet, which I give you as a possession, and I put the leprous plague in the house and in the land of your possession. And he that owns the house comes and tells the priest, saying, it seems to me that there is some plague in the house, and the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest goes into it and looks at the plague, and all that is in the house may not be unclean. And afterwards the priest shall go in and look at the house, and he shall look at the plague, and if indeed the plague is on the walls of the house with ingrained streaks, greenish and reddish, which shall appear deep in the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house and to the door of the house and shut up the house for 7 days, and then the priest will come back on the seventh day and look, and if indeed the plague is spread on the walls of the house, then the priest shall command to take away the stone in which is the plague, and they shall cast them into an unclean place outside the city, and he shall cause the house to be scraped inside all around in the dust that they scrape off, and they shall pour out. This is hazmat before the day, you know. And it is unclean, shall be placed outside the city, and then they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and plaster the house. And if the plague comes back and breaks out in the house after he's taken away the stones, after he's scrapped the house and after it's plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and if the plague is spread in the house, it's active leprosy in the house, it's unclean. He shall break down the house, its stones, its timber, all the plaster of the house. He shall carry them outside the camp of the city to an unclean place. Moreover, he who goes into the house all the while it is shut up shall be unclean until evening. He that lies down in the house shall wash his clothes. Him that eats in the house shall wash his clothes. But if the priest comes in and looks, and indeed the plague has not spread in the house, after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean because the plague is clean or healed. He shall take to cleanse the house two birds, cedar wood, scarlet, hyssop. then he shall kill. This is the same thing that he had to do for the cleansing of the leper. And he shall take the cedar wood, the hyssop, the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird, and in the running water, and sprinkle them on the house 7 times. He shall cleanse the house with the blood of the hyssop, or the bird of the running water and living water, with cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet. Then he shall let the living bird loose outside the city in the open field, and make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. Same process for the leper as for the house. This is the law for any leprous sore and scald, for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, for the swelling of a scab and a bright spot, to teach what is unclean and what it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. So first of all, the house has to be emptied. Verse 36. Before the high priest can go into it and examine it, everything's taken out of it. A lot of people believe that the house is a symbol of our old life. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, there's a lot of places I didn't go anymore. There's a lot of people I couldn't hang out with anymore. There's a lot of things I couldn't do anymore. There's a lot of stuff I didn't want to do anymore. We have to be cleansed, and then we have to clean up our act. I can't go back and be reinfected with this thing. I got to stay away from it. And our priest, our high priest, Jesus Christ, needs to go into the house of our life. He's the only one that's got that eye that can see everything. Hey, I know you think this is okay, Tom, but you know what? It's not good for you. Would you trust me with it? Oh, man. Have you invited him into the house of your life to take a look? All things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we have to do. He already sees it. We're not going to fool him. Whatever happened before, whatever needed to be cleansed, needs to be thrown out of the house. You know, and you know, often, you know, some of us might be embarrassed to have somebody come in and see what's in our house that shouldn't be there. But the Lord sees the whole thing. What's wrong with us? Maybe we need to empty the house and then let the Lord take a look inside. You know, when's the last time we invited the Lord and say, here's my life. Take a look at it. He's so gentle. The house was closed up for 7 days before the Lord or the priest entered it. It's possible to have your life cleaned up and have your life cleansed from sin, but the house still unclean. You think it's possible that some of us might actually be cleansed from the Lord, but we can't get up and run because the house hasn't been cleaned yet? We're going back to the old things, the old places, the old people, whatever else. Those things need to be dealt with. Just like Lazarus, Jesus said, come out. And he come out of the grave, but he was still in his grave clothes. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And some of us have been born again out of our sins, but we need to be loosed from the things that have kept us bound. And according to verse 40, if it spread in the walls, the stones will be taken out and to be put in an unclean place. That wasn't easy, by the way. To scrape and dig and pull that stone out, and then go get a clean stone and then put clean mortar and do the whole thing. And then the priest comes back in 7 days to see if everything is okay. Hey, how far are we willing to go to have our lives cleansed before the Lord? Not easy. And don't you know, haven't you learned by now that we need to be continually cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you what, I know my house needs to be scraped down. And even the dust of it, like I can't get near it. And if that doesn't happen, the house might need to be torn down. Sometimes an entire life needs to be rebuilt. But don't you think it's interesting the house is cleansed by the same method that the sinner, that the leper was cleansed? The two birds and all? You see, the same thing that it took to cleanse us and sanctify us for the Lord, the blood of Jesus Christ, is the same thing that's going to cleanse us, that's going to cleanse the house, that's going to sanctify us. The same blood of Jesus Christ that justifies us is going to sanctify us. We don't ever get away from what Jesus did for us on the cross. Paul said to the church in Galatia, having begun in the Spirit, do you think you're now going to be perfected by your own flesh? There's no way. We need Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, just thankful, Lord, for the wonderful picture here of Jesus. For the picture of sin, Lord, it's just so appropriate, Lord. And these innocent birds, Lord, we can't believe what you did for us. You're heavenly, and you came to this earth. And like the bird that was killed in an earthen vessel, Lord, what more could you have done, Lord? We thank you for that, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you that that second bird, though dipped in the blood and water, was released and that, Lord, we've been released. And even as you've been raised from the dead, Lord, we've been raised unto a newness of life. Thank you for that, Lord. Lord, if you're looking into our lives tonight, Lord, I suppose that you are. Lord, we invite you in to take a look around, Lord. And if there's anything, Lord, that's not pleasing to you, help us to realize how wrong it is, how sinful it is, Lord, and how destructive it is. If we allow it to stay there, it's going to grow. We turn our lives over to you, Lord. To your watchful eye, Lord, to your loving eye. And Lord, we do so in Jesus' name. Amen.